This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells, from pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever. You need the Thunderstorm. Buy the three-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. You're halfway through the week and you're in the right spot. We're going to have a lot of fun today. A lot to discuss. Joe Biden just wrapped up his address in New York. His UN address, and we're going to talk about that. I have to digest some of these cuts before I lay it on you. You know, I'm not going to go rogue here and just start playing cuts willy-nilly. I'm going to take them in, I'm going to decide what we need, and I'm going to cut off the fat.
You can see I didn't get my English lessons.
That's part of my job, is to only give you what's necessary. I'm not about to inundate you with too much Joe, but we are going to get to some Joe. He spoke at the UN today, and he's talking Ukraine, climate change, our relationship with China. Basically, everyone's walking on eggshells at this point. I can't imagine. Do you remember, and this is more for Massachusetts people, although hello to all the audiences out there. Remember Allie Raisman when she was competing in the Olympics, and her parents were watching, and they became kind of like a viral sensation because they couldn't. They wanted her to do well, but they were so nervous. They were so tense that they were kind of like squirming in their seats the whole time. It was really funny because all parents could understand how you'd probably feel in that situation. And they were wincing and squirming. I have to imagine that Joe Biden's staffers and all of the brilliant people in his cabinet, they must need to be sedated when he goes up on stage, especially when you got Putin out there threatening to use nuclear weapons. You've got China inching closer and closer to invading Taiwan. You've got all of these issues here domestically. They must just be thinking, oh my gosh, if he doesn't stay on script, the ice cream is going to be taken away forever. I was thinking to myself, so how's he going to end it? Because usually when the stakes are high, and he has a pre-planned speech, and he has a teleprompter, and there's really, they don't leave him a lot of wiggle room, a lot, or as his dad used to say, a lot of breathing room. They don't leave him a lot of breathing room to mess things up. That's when he usually adds in like a final tagline, a Howard Dean-esque, go get him! Or, you know, something that sends the world into a tizzy. So, I haven't heard that he did that. I think he pretty much stayed on script. But still, I would love to get some video of what his team must be like watching him on stage. It has to be incredibly nerve-wracking for them. And I'm sure they're all equipped with brooms and mops and ready to clean up all of the messes.
God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
Nailed it.
That was not from today. That was a flashback.
That's okay. You know, these are kind of evergreen cuts. They don't really go out of style. That's one thing you could say about Joe. He doesn't go out of style. The New York Post actually had a really good piece. I'm mad. You know how once in a while I'll say I'm mad I didn't think of this? They were calling out the UN because the UN spent so much time virtue signaling about climate change, which Joe did plenty of today. And they were calling out the UN for how they block up New York City. I mean, it's, you talk to anyone who lives in the city and this is the worst week ever for them. It's just chaos. There's so many world leaders trying to get in there. There's so many roads blocked off. And the New York Post made the great point of, you know, if you guys are trying to curb climate change, why don't we do a little carpooling? Why don't we do a little bit of what they did before the Queen's funeral? And I know Joe Biden did not partake. He didn't want to get on the bus, Gus. That's actually, that sound cut is going to come in handy a lot today, Jared. Believe it or not. Hop on the bus, Gus. Don't worry. You'll be hearing that more than just once. But he didn't want to partake. He wanted to take the beast. Now, when it comes to UN, though, don't you think they, if anyone, should be carpooling to reduce their carbon footprint? It should be the people who are all gathering. And they do these events. This isn't just one and done. They do other events where they all fly in their private jets. So the New York Post beat me to that. I didn't think of it. And then when I read it, I thought, damn, that's an easy column that I could have written.
Why does Burkina Faso always get the middle seat in the back? What's that about?
Imagine all of these world leaders trying to carpool. I would have loved to see the bus situation with the Queen. I wish Joe had been there because, I mean, we would have had some story. He was sniffing some leader's hair or something like that. But beyond that, you know, we're talking about climate change. It only seems fair. We are based out of Boston. It only seems fair to give a give a little bit of attention to something that was going on this morning. Are you one of the hundreds of lucky people that get to commute into Boston in the morning? Did you happen to run into the Extinction Rebellion group? Not to be confused, I know what you're probably thinking, with the tire extinction people.
Tire extinguishers.
I'm sorry. See, you should be...
It's a play on fire extinguisher.
Oh, I didn't even get that. I'm not ready for this. I'm so behind. Tire extinguishers. That makes sense. I like that. So they're the group that was slashing tires and leaving notes on top of these SUVs saying, like, sorry about it, but not really. Find another car. This is a different group. They're not trying to slash tires. They're just trying to ruin your morning commute into the city. And don't get those green warriors confused. You know, try to keep them straight like Jared does. Jared has so much knowledge on all of this crap. And luckily, he can use it here on my show. But I'm warning you, Jared, in the long run, it's not going to serve you. Like, I hope you're not bringing this up at parties.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I did find it amusing, though. They managed to find the busiest bridges and connectors in Boston where people are going for work. And since none of these people have jobs, I'm curious how they figured out where people who actually have jobs go.
You know what? We should ask Emma. Emma's new here at the Howie Car Radio Network, and she, I think, was a witness to some of this. But I saw a video where there was a tuba. I couldn't tell if someone put the music over the protesters to make it sound like there was a tuba, but it was really good tuba playing. I think Jerry Callahan tweeted it. It was, they had some sort of like blow up doll thing that they were, not a blow up doll, but it was some sort of mascot thing they were carrying around. And then they had this tuba playing in the background and it was sounded good, whoever it was. So let's find out a little bit about that.
I call this the world is on fire rag.
So they were all walking through. They tried to bring out barrels, I think, to block traffic. And that was not successful. The cops put a stop to that before it even began. And, you know, I don't think that you can. Part of the problem is nowadays with these environmental groups, and I'm not trying to give out my two cents. I'm not trying to criticize or even, you know, offer my suggestions. But one thing I do notice is they send out these flyers with bullet points, you know, breaking down each step. It feels like you're giving everyone too much time to prepare, you know, because now the cops know they're going to do something. It's probably going to involve these bright pink barrels that are stuck in somebody's car. It's too many heads
up. Inside an SUV, by the way.
Well, I'm sure it was an electric SUV.
This does not look like a hybrid SUV.
Well, I'm sure it was pulled by unicorns. Was it a chariot SUV? That does seem to be a bit of a contradiction for them. But I'm not going to let that get in the way of their great work. The barrels were stopped before they could do that. Remember way back when? Was it like Occupy Wall Street or something where they had the... it was in Boston. They were sticking their hands into cement. That's commitment. This is just, you show up with these barrels and you don't really have a game plan. The police are going to be able to put that down real quick. So we'll have more on this. Their goal, though, in case you were wondering, in case it's not clear by the exciting tactics that they're using, their goal was to draw attention to ban new fossil fuel infrastructure in Massachusetts. Again, if that's not specific enough for you, stopping the gas-fired power plant that's being built in Peabody and a pipeline that's being built in Springfield. So we will get to that. Massachusetts in the news a lot this week. Because not just that, Jared, but we still have the saga of Martha's Vineyard that's on the top of everyone's news outlet. It's that there's story after story after story. We're going to talk to Eddie Scarry about it. But now, according to NBC News, the migrants who were shipped from Florida, or I'm sorry, from Texas to Martha's Vineyard by Ron DeSantis, are now
connecting flight in Florida,
now alleging they were the victims of fraud for political purposes, and they're suing Ron DeSantis. And that's not the only lawsuit dropping today. The New York Attorney General has filed a civil fraud lawsuit against Donald Trump.
I'm sure the migrants are suing Ron DeSantis and not some activist group on behalf of these migrants they've probably never talked to.
Are you trying to suggest that Democrat activists are taking advantage of the situation for their own political purposes?
I would call this Democrat activists using these human beings as props for a political stunt.
Get it right, Jared.
Literally.
Political pawns.
Political scam.
This is a scam. This is a scheme. This is a stunt. And I will not stand for it. Of course, the lawsuit is complete BS, as most lawsuits are today. We had that lawyer call in yesterday, my favorite caller in probably 6 months, because he was a lawyer and he said, I can't take this stupidity anymore. You have all these people on TV talking about criminal probes and breaking of laws, and they don't know what they're talking about, and nobody seems to care. That they're putting these false ideas into the minds of Americans that, like, oh, this is going to be the thing. No, it's illegal. No, he definitely did break the law. I can't imagine being a lawyer and watching all of this. You must feel like you want to pull your hair out. But we'll get to all of that, including the sheriff from San Antonio. I don't know if you saw this, Jared. He wasted no time getting on CNN. He's got like Fauci type of speed when it comes to getting on TV. This man was ready for his close-up, Mr. DeMille.
I think we need to start calling him President Javier Salazar.
I did see some people floating the idea that he is CNN's new Michael Avenatti. And what did I say yesterday? What did I say yesterday about Dear Michael? I won't take that kind of slander. In order to believe that the San Antonio sheriff is replacing Michael Avenatti as CNN's new presidential hopeful, you have to concede that Michael Avenatti is not going to be president of the United States, and I refuse to do that. It is not over for him. It's not over, in the words of The Notebook. It was never over. He is still fighting. We have that news. We have Biden and KJP blaming communism. How is it already time to go to break? I got into one story, I think, and I had like 16 to get to. But we will get to all of this. KJP and Biden blaming communism. We've got another story of insane political violence that you're not going to hear about because it was not a Republican who's at fault here. And, oh my gosh, there's just so much. And of course, I mentioned the lawsuits. We've got tons of sound from Joe Biden, from John Fetterman, from Dr. Fauci. Anything you want, you're going to get on today's show. So 844-500-4242 and Eddie Scarry in the 1 o'clock, which will be great. Call in, weigh in. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. So I'm kind of torn because we're going to be talking about the illegal alien situation in the 1 o'clock. So I think I kind of want to spend this first hour discussing the global warming or cooling or climate change activism
that is
sweeping the nation, and specifically the global warming fever has hit Massachusetts. Because in Boston today, I actually just talked to Emma. I was getting some scoop about what happened. She was there in person. She said the group was a little bit deflated not because they were slashing tires. That's the other group. Don't get it twisted. But because
of their life in general,
they weren't able to bring out a lot of the props. There was a leak to the media allegedly, and they gave too much away, I think. And then it was easy to kind of put the kibosh on
Pride
the whole thing.
Pride goeth before the fall.
Yeah. So one thing I did notice, though, and I'm glad I remembered this, is that there was a tuba. There was a tuba player who was going along with this march. And I was very impressed with the quality of tuba for this kind of, I don't want to say half-baked, but it didn't seem particularly organized.
I'm pretty sure it was very baked, if you know what I mean.
Jared, making assumptions now. All right, so let's play a little bit of the tuba that is here to save the
Stay
world.
Stay off the weed!
Listen to this tuba, though. It's pretty good. I love a horn. I really do. I mean, if you could ask me, all right, you can only pick one group, you know, what would you pick? I think I would go horns, Jared.
The brass is the way to go. Wood instruments. It's for children.
For my wedding, I remember you could pick.
You know what I'm talking about.
You could pick like one thing at the church, if you, or you could pay for extras. And I think I went with a trumpet because I thought a trumpet just, there's something so exciting about it. Like it makes you stop and go, wait, what's going on? Someone's got a trumpet. So I like the tuba. I will say compared to some other groups I've seen, like the people who sat in on the congressional baseball game and couldn't even get the rhythm down, that is probably what they need. They need a little bit of instrumental backup. You know, going a cappella for people whose life mission is not to be musicians, but is to be activists, they need all the help they can get. So I'm team tuba. I think this was a step in the right direction. Clearly, the prop situation didn't work out for them. But all in all, I would say this could have been a lot worse. Wasn't a complete failure.
So I'm looking at this this puppet they had, this papier-mâché
puppet. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know how to describe it.
Yeah, and it almost, I believe, I think it's supposed to be Ruth Bader Ginsburg for some reason, because it's got the black robe and it's got the, like, that doily thing that the judge robe has.
Yeah, the collar thing.
The collar thing. And yeah, so I think somehow, I don't know what RBG has to do with.
Well, this is
change,
your interpretation.
This is just my interpretation, but that's what I believe is supposed to be going on.
We have not fact checked this interpretation.
We have not.
So it could be.
Could be anything.
It could be the global warming Supreme Court justice. You know, like it could be someone.
It could be Mother Earth. For
it could
all
be
we know.
Exactly.
Jaya or Gaia. I don't know how to
Gaia.
Pronounce.
You got to think bigger. You know, you're thinking too logically. This was more like artwork. It could be interpreted in any way you want.
That is probably Gaia.
Now,
Bader Ginsburg.
Another part of this that I'm going to get into in the next segment, and by the way, you're welcome to call in, and especially call in if you saw any of this going down, because I would love to have some eyewitnesses, some sources, some
birthing person on the street interviews.
Yes, some men and women X on the street interviews would be great. But another part of this we're going to talk about is the UN, because Joe Biden spoke today at the UN. I have some of those sound cuts, and a lot of it was focused on global warming. But as the New York Post points out, the people who attend the UN and who preach to us about global warming don't practice what they preach.
Oh, boy.
A lot of them are getting there on private jets and then taking gas-guzzling SUVs into the city. And I will not stand for this. I think that you have to, and I know I've said this before in other situations, you have to be the change you wish to see in the world. I think from now on, when I'm talking, when I'm getting really deep, when I'm really building up some momentum, Jared, I would like my own personal tuba player in the studio. Do you think we could make that happen? Do you think we could get the mailroom manager to sign off on that cost for a tuba player?
Absolutely.
It's necessary. I won't work without the tuba player. All right, everyone, we're going to talk the UN, global warming, what's happening in Boston, and so much more. Massachusetts in the news, baby. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right. Well, before we get to climate change. And that is going to be the topic of this next segment. And you are more than welcome. You are encouraged to call in. The number is 844-500-4242. But before we get to that, we have some exclusive sound that we can play for you from the climate protests today in Boston. But before we get to any of that, I do want to take a quick detour. I'm sure there was a lot of detours in Boston today, thanks to the extinguishers, the extinction. I can't tell if I don't know the name or if I just want to annoy Jared because he's so passionate about this. I get all the group names confused. Tell me it one more time.
This is the Extinction Rebellion
Group. All right, but before we get to any of that, there's so many different parts of this Ron DeSantis story. Like now we find out that the migrants that were sent to Martha's Vineyard are going to sue Ron DeSantis because suing people now is just the latest thing in making your point. You know, rather than making a good argument, I'm suing you and that will show you. And the left loves to sue. They sue Donald Trump every other day. That really has no impact anymore on people. And so now they're suing Ron DeSantis because he is going to be the next Donald Trump. They are going to vilify him. They have DeSantis derangement syndrome. But a part of this that I love, a part of this conversation about what's happening at the border that I love, involves Bill Malugin from Fox News. And this is something that we'll spend more time on, but I have to get this off of my plate right now in case the day gets away from me. This was from Politico. And Politico, I like, they're extremely left-wing, but I like them because they get kind of the palace intrigue scoops. They have a lot of sources in the White House. And I just found this to be completely ridiculous. If you're not familiar with Bill Malugin, he does a lot of reporting for Fox at the border. He's actually a reporter in the classic sense of he's on the scene, he's interviewing migrants, he tells you the facts. He, in other words, he is a rarity in today's world. And listen to this little bit of scoop from Politico. There's a tall Fox News reporter in his mid-30s with slicked back hair and an air of combative indignation who is getting under the skin of some people in Joe Biden's administration. And he's not Peter Doocy. Bill Malugin, a former local Los Angeles Emmy-winning reporter, has become a growing presence online in broader political circles as Fox's go-to reporter at the U.S. southern border. He's done hundreds of television hits since joining the network last year, largely from border states where he often focuses on the historic flow of migrants that are overwhelming communities there. How dare he? Who does he think he is reporting on real stories in this country? You'll notice the White House has no problem with CNN and MSNBC sending reporters to the beautiful island of Martha's Vineyard when 50 people arrive there. But when 2 million people are crossing the southern border and Fox News sends a guy there to report on it, that's getting under their skin. You know what's getting under my skin? The fact that I don't seem to see any reporters from other networks there. That Bill seems to be doing this all on his own. Don't you think it's a place you'd send reporters when we clearly have a crisis? Or is the only humanitarian crisis worth sending a reporter to the one in Martha's Vineyard? Because the liberal, progressive, blue island is being overrun by the 44-hour trip from illegal aliens. It's
MV Martha's Vineyard, holla back!
I cannot emphasize enough how ridiculous this administration is. They're mad at Bill Malugin. And this is part of their problem, is that they get so focused. For people who are so bad at optics and PR, they're very focused on people who are good at it. It's like Brian Stelter being obsessed with Fox News. You know, Fox News isn't covering the January 6 hearings. Yeah, Brian, because they don't want to have ratings like you. They actually want to have people watching their programs.
That's the truth.
Is that lost on you? And the White House is more worried about getting Alex Berenson off of Twitter because they don't like what he's putting out about COVID, because he's just not fitting their narrative, or getting people banned off YouTube, or you know, They're annoyed with Bill Mnuchin for actually reporting on the historic numbers at our border, which now Joe Biden, in case you missed it, blaming it on communism now. We've gone from it's Trump's fault, we inherited a broken system, to it's Ron DeSantis' fault, he's using illegal aliens as political pawns, we have a process in place, to the latest, which is people are fleeing communism and there's nothing I can do about it.
Bad direction giving people fleeing communism. Just saying, maybe go somewhere else.
I know. Very, very good point. I didn't even think of that. But it's amazing to me that they are actually, this is what they spend their time stewing on. You know, maybe you should stew on the fact that the guy you elected, the guy you're all working for, has no idea what he's doing. Maybe you should stew on the fact that no one in the administration had the wherewithal to pull the plug on James Taylor's mini concert on the South Lawn, or to pull the plug on the red lights that were shining down on Joe Biden as he looked like Satan himself on stage. But yeah, let's focus on Bill Mnuchin, who's actually doing his job, unlike all of the people at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That's a really good use of time. I'm glad we're all paying you to do this brilliant stuff. It's like a bunch of high school students. They sit around. Can you believe this tall reporter in his mid-30s reporting on the border? Imagine. Oh, yeah. What should he be reporting on? January 6th? The latest lawsuit against Donald Trump? What else do they like to? Oh, global warming? Should he be reporting on global warming? Would that make you happy? Or will the White House only be happy when everyone has as low of ratings as CNN and MSNBC? That's when you know the state media is doing really well. When everyone has the same low ratings. It's called equity and equality. Sucky ratings for all. Dave, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, good afternoon, Grace. Enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
The whole thing about protesting, you have the First Amendment right to protest. We all have rights. But you practicing your First Amendment right should not infringe on my rights. And that's where the left, like on the right, well, if people on the right protest, it's usually on the side of the road, they're not blocking traffic, they got their signs. We're not stopping people from going to work or going wherever they want, free and safe travel. We're not shutting down someone else's First Amendment right because they don't agree with our First Amendment, what we're trying to say. So that's my only point.
Yeah,
and exercising your free rights shouldn't infringe on anybody else's.
Yeah, and you know what, Dave? Because this job has done such a number on me in such a short amount of time, whenever I have a caller, I can hear the left, what they'd respond to this. Usually what they'd respond to any argument is, well, Trump told people to inject Lysol into their veins, but that wouldn't work in this scenario. So I can hear the moonbat callers we get saying, what about the insurrection? But I don't think the people at that insurrection represent the base. I don't think they represent Republicans. I think they represent Looney Tunes. And I was more than happy for them to be taken out of there and arrested because they were wreaking havoc. I don't think that they deserve to be held in their jail cells for like longer than a few hours. But sure, arrest people. If they're causing a problem, like that last caller said, if they are restricting other people's ability to go about their lives normally, then sure. But you're right. In these scenarios, like, you have a right to protest. You don't have a right to make it so that no one else can get to work and get a paycheck and put food on the table. That goes a little bit beyond. So let's talk a little bit about what this group was doing. This was a group in Boston. As we had mentioned, we have some sound. Thanks to Emma Foley, who is a new hire here at the Howie Carr Radio Network. And I would love to play Cut 41. This is an Extinction Rebellion protester talking to Emma. Cut 41.
We unfortunately had a little bit of a media leak, and our locations were saturated with police. This being civil disobedience, we anticipated to be arrested. I kind of signed up for that in my role today. But there were so many police there that they threatened to arrest us the moment we began bringing our props onto the street. So instead, we kind of regrouped back here at Postal Square and marched to the bridge and camped out on the bridge for a while to deliver our message there instead.
Trombone, not a tuba, but it still works.
I know, I appreciated it. Either way, it's a horn. And you know what, Jared? I would like to play, this is a climate protester. This was from Matt Reed. Actually, no. I want to play the WGBH, the climate justice song by a protester on Seaport Boulevard Bridge. This is Cut 34. Could have used the tuba. It was a little weak. You know what the problem is with group song like that? Everyone has to commit. It can't just be one. I remember this past summer, I was at a party, and one of the guests asked my sister if she would sing God Bless America. And she said to me, my sister has a nice voice, and she said, I don't want to sing alone at this party. And so I said, all right, we're all going to sing it together. And, you know, people, it's like church. People sing, but they kind of sing under their breath. You have to commit. Everyone has to sing loud. You ever in chorus as a kid? And there was like always half of chorus. Nobody, they wouldn't actually sing. They would just kind of mouth the words. No, everyone has to do it. And I just don't think this was organized enough. I don't think they, and he mentioned the props. He wasn't able to get the props out fast enough. You have to have a game plan here. You know what they need? They need a director. They need Jussie Smollett to come in and direct these kind of things so that he could tell people, all right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, action. Take your places. Bring in the tuba. Bring out the barrels. Stage left.
See, I think that's a problem. A righteous protest doesn't need gadgets and props to impress people.
Gadgets and gizmos aplenty?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm team props.
All you need is a message and a jaunty tune and maybe a tuba.
You know what, Jared, though? I will say this. You have a good point because when I used to, I didn't go to these multiple times. I only went once, but I went to the St. Patrick's Day parade or the St. Patrick's Day breakfast in Southie one year for Howie. Can you imagine that? I was doing basically what Emma's doing now. I had my cell phone and I was asking people, hi, I work for Howie Carr. That was about it. That ended the interviews at the breakfast. As you can imagine, it was like Elizabeth Warren and, you know, Maura Healey. It wasn't a friendly crowd for me. But I remember having to watch people do their stand-up routines. And some people were okay, you know, but it's not like it used to be. Everyone has to be very politically correct now. But one thing I did notice was people who brought out props, like hats or poster boards, you lose the crowd. Because people can't see you. It's not TV, you know? You're up on stage. Everything's small. So people can't even read their menus nowadays. They've got to take their phones out. They can't see what you're putting on, like your little scally cap on the stage. It's not going to have an impact. So yeah, I've changed my mind. I'm anti-prop. You have to be ready to make your point without props. If you can bring them in as a garnish, as a cherry on top, perfect. But you can't rely on them. Because guess what? It's going to be unsuccessful like it was today. 844-500-4242. Now, there's a piece in the New York Post. It's titled, Save the Planet by Ending the UN General Assembly Traffic Nightmare. How much carbon could the green fanatics who people the UN save simply by making GA attendees use public transportation? That was a weird way to phrase it. Buses were good enough for the world leaders who attended Queen Elizabeth's funeral. Given the UN's massive ambitions on climate, surely the body should lead by example. Refusing to make any sacrifices, such as hopping on the subway like ordinary people, suggests Turtle Bay's leaders aren't serious.
I was just saving the world by getting rid of the UN right there.
Imagine how much we'd save. It would be amazing. It requires, again, you know how I always say, like, I'm doing more for the planet just by not being John Kerry? Because he's probably flown more in the last week than I have in my entire life. I'm saving the planet just by not participating in the UN. Just by not being invited. It doesn't take a lot, guys. You can all do your part. You can all pay your fair share. The Democrat surveillance state is here. Isn't that so true right now? I mean, we thought the Inflation Reduction Act was going to solve all of our problems. And instead, we find out we just got 87,000 new armed IRS agents. How does that work? Who asked for that? Not me. And why does America need that? The people in charge, the Democrats, said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. That was what Brandon told us. So we paid attention to the $400K, and they slipped this in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you've ever spent. So now you traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg. Hours of time, you saved money, and now you have to protect it. This is the most important part. It will all be pointless if you don't look after it. You need this now. It's Monetary Gold's new guide, and it's called Five Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay, and I'm going to give you the number. It's 888-617-7994. Again, you'll get five money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. We will be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. Get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 to get 10% off your next purchase. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which lawsuit is more useless, New York versus Trump or migrants versus DeSantis?
Well, DeSantis is ripping this lawsuit against him. He said those migrants are being treated horribly by President Biden. They were hungry, homeless. They had no opportunity at all. It was volunteer offered transport to sanctuary jurisdictions because it's our view that, one, the border should be secured and we want to have Biden reinstitute policies like Remain in Mexico and make sure that people aren't overwhelming. And then he goes on to talk about the borders. Now, I think this is a clear, and I'm so curious to know how people are voting. I don't even think there's a question that the more pointless lawsuit is the one against Trump, because when it comes to Donald Trump, first of all, the New York AG has made it very clear that she wants to get Trump. I mean,
everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Even some political analysts and legal experts on the mainstream media news networks have admitted that he definitely has a reason to be highly skeptical of an AG who has made it perfectly clear that she has political leanings against him. And also, it's almost to the point, Jared, where at least with the Ron DeSantis lawsuits, this is very in vogue right now. Like, this is the story. Ron DeSantis is the new person to hate. With the Trump lawsuits, each one feels lamer than the next because it's just so passe. It feels a little bit, you know, out of fashion now. So I'm going to say Trump.
35% believe New York versus Trump is the more useless. 65% say migrants versus DeSantis.
I should add in here, they're both incredibly useless. I just think that, I mean, how many lawsuits can there be against Donald Trump? It doesn't even make an impact. Like, the mail manager came in and told
million,
us.
Billion trillion, as Joe Biden would say.
She said, I just got a ping from Apple News that the New York Attorney General is filing a civil lawsuit against Trump. And it was kind of like white noise to me. You know, all of the words, I've heard them over and over again in so many different forms. And I just don't care anymore. The left is the boy who cried wolf for 6 years now. And the walls are always closing in. They're always going to get him. They're always on his trail. You know, they're always going to get him put into a jail cell. And it just never comes to fruition. And I don't buy it anymore. When we come back, we're going to talk to Eddie Scarry from The Federalist about what's going on with Ron DeSantis. We're going to play some Kamala Harris wisdom for you all. And we've got more sound from the new Howie Carr Radio Network hire, Emma Foley, who is talking to the global warming protesters in Boston. Don't go anywhere. A lot more show left.